In January 2015, Yanis Varoufakis stepped into a Washington, D.C. hotel bar to meet Larry Summers, who delivered a prophetic warning. There are two kinds of politicians, insiders and outsiders. Insiders never betray the club and gain influence. Outsiders speak truth but remain powerless. Varoufakis' answer, that he would work within the system but become a whistleblower if necessary, would define his tumultuous tenure as Greece's finance minister during the country's economic collapse. What followed was an extraordinary confrontation between one small nation and Europe's financial establishment, revealing the human drama behind closed-door negotiations that determined the fate of millions. The story that unfolds isn't merely about debt figures and fiscal targets. It's about what happens when financial power collides with democratic will, when the machinery of modern capitalism decides that elections simply cannot be allowed to change economic policy. As we'll see, Greece became the laboratory for a new form of governance where financial institutions effectively override democratic decisions when they threaten established interests. By 2015, Greece had endured a devastating economic collapse. 6 years of recession had erased 28% of national income. Unemployment jumped from 7% to 27%, with youth unemployment hitting 65%. Among those employed, 500,000 hadn't received wages in months, and of 2.8 million households, 2.3 million couldn't pay their taxes. Real human tragedies lurked behind these statistics. Yorgos Tsatsis was found hanged after his disability allowance was suspended. When asked what they feared losing most, Athenians predominantly answered dignity rather than jobs or pensions. Healthcare spending had been cut by 11.1%, household income had fallen by 30%, and pensions, reduced by 25%, had become the main income for nearly half of all families. This wasn't recovery, but systematic societal destruction. The tragedy is particularly outrageous because it resulted not from natural disaster, but deliberate policy. The 2008 financial crisis had exposed overextended French and German banks. The Greek bailout was actually a scheme to rescue these banks while forcing Greeks to bear the consequences, transferring private losses to European taxpayers. The bailout transformed Greece into Bailout Stan, a debt colony stripped of democratic sovereignty. Three institutions undermined parliamentary control: a bank recapitalization fund using taxpayer money without oversight, a tax department requiring Troika approval, and a privatization authority selling national assets with proceeds flowing directly to foreign creditors. This sovereignty surrender occurred under threat of Eurozone expulsion. When an MP defended his capitulation vote by asking protesters, "Who are you to judge what I should vote for?" he received the simple reply, "Who do I have to be?" While Greece's corruption was real, the crisis's severity stemmed from the Eurozone's flawed design. Outside the Euro, Greece would have borrowed less from French and German banks and experienced a minor recession like Romania or Bulgaria. Instead, Greece became the scapegoat for Europe's banking crisis. Austerity proved self-defeating. As government spending decreased, national income shrank, tax revenues fell, and debt became more unpayable. Spain's 3.5% spending cut saw its economy decline by 6.4%. while Greece's 15% cut resulted in a 16% drop in national income, comparable to losing a third of your salary while still facing the same mortgage. Varoufakis' account reveals the Eurogroup, the informal yet all-powerful meeting of Eurozone finance ministers that determined Greece's fate, as a body with no legal standing, no minutes, and no written rules. At his first meeting, Varoufakis discovered that unelected Troika officials spoke before elected ministers could contribute. When he asked to circulate proposals, he was told it was not possible. Questioning the legality of excluding Greece from discussions yielded a stunning response: the Eurogroup does not exist in law. This democratic void transformed technical debt discussions into raw power politics. when Varoufakis presented economic models showing why the Troika's demands would deepen Greece's depression, he faced what he calls the Swedish national anthem routine, blank stares denying the very existence of the documents before them. The crisis exposed both Greece's weakness and the Eurozone's structural flaws. Unlike America, where the Federal Reserve could absorb bad bank assets, European countries had surrendered their central banks to join the euro, and the ECB was prohibited from directly supporting governments, explaining Europe's reliance on austerity through benefit cuts and tax hikes to fund bank bailouts. As bank runs accelerated in June 2015, Prime Minister Tsipras called for a referendum on the Troika's harsh bailout terms. The European Central Bank responded by freezing emergency liquidity, forcing bank closures, and limiting ATM withdrawals to $60. Despite media warnings, Greeks voted 61.3% no to further austerity. When Varoufakis arrived at the Prime Minister's residence amid celebrations, he found an atmosphere as cold as a morgue. Cabinet members who previously dressed casually now appeared in formal dark suits. In a midnight meeting, Tsipras revealed his intention to surrender, accepting terms even harsher than those Greeks had just rejected. Recognizing this betrayal of democratic principles, Varoufakis immediately resigned. Have you ever wondered what happens when a democratic vote directly challenges financial power? Greece provided the answer. Democracy is suspended until the correct result is achieved. As negotiations intensified, Varoufakis discovered multiple betrayals undermining Greece's position. His deputy minister had been secretly sharing confidential strategies with Troika representatives without remorse when confronted. The most significant betrayal came from Prime Minister Tsipras, who transformed from fierce resistance to gradual surrender. Initially challenging European austerity, Tsipras fell under Merkel's spell, developing an almost mystical belief the German chancellor would help Greece despite evidence to the contrary. By April 2015, European officials launched a character assassination campaign against Varoufakis in the media. Though Tsipras publicly supported his finance minister, behind the scenes he was already negotiating directly with creditors, making contradictory concessions. The Bank of Greece further undermined the government by releasing reports warning of economic collapse if they didn't capitulate to creditor demands. This institutional sabotage, combined with personal betrayals, created an untenable negotiating position. Varoufakis reveals how modern European power operates through conspiracies without conspirators, networks sharing sensitive information through informal channels while evading democratic oversight. The Greek crisis showed how institutions like the European Central Bank can weaponize monetary policy to subdue elected governments when democratic decisions threaten financial interests. Yet despite closed banks and fear-mongering, citizens voted decisively against austerity. Though Greece's rebellion was ultimately crushed through financial asphyxiation, Varoufakis sees it as essential democratic resistance. The real danger isn't setting ambitious democratic goals and failing, but accepting democracy's gradual erosion. When asked how he could support remaining in the EU after Greece's treatment, Varoufakis would respond, "We want our country back too, but reclaiming our countries requires restoring common sense across Europe," reflecting his belief that confronting borderless financial power requires struggle beyond national boundaries. Greece's experience serves as both warning and inspiration. Democracy remains vulnerable to concentrated financial power, yet citizens can still find courage to resist under enormous pressure.